This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, and thank you for being here. We cover a lot of different things of interest around the Umpqua Valley and statewide as well. Try to get a lot of varied perspectives on things and talk to folks on both sides of the aisle. One of the biggest topics right now is a petition effort out there regarding a portion of the recently signed transportation package. And the person leading that effort is State Representative Ed Deal out of Salem and the East Salem area. Ed, thanks for being on this afternoon.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
So I guess, first of all, help folks get to know you a little bit better. Talk about your district and how long you've been in the legislature.
You bet. So I have the honor of serving East Salem through the majestic Santa Ym Canyon, that Highway 22 corridor that has Turner and Almsville, State and Sublimity, all the way up through Mill City, Detroit, and Idana, all those small towns in that beautiful canyon community. And I entered the legislature. I was elected for the first time in 2022. And I've avoided government like the plague, and finally got to the point I couldn't do that anymore, so I ran for office.
So what's your background before you got in the legislature?
Yeah, I'm an engineer by degree, and I had a factory automation and controls business that I started with my partners and my wife in Albany, and we worked all over the world. And we work in all sorts of different industries. We help everything build 747s, build the Dreamliner, make French fries for McDonald's, and also sawmills. We did a lot of sawmill and wood products work in those operations. And I've worked in sawmills in Australia and New Zealand, Canada, and of course, a lot of them in Oregon. And unfortunately, a lot of my customers are gone now.
Wow. So a really diverse background there, and now taking that into your time in the legislature. It's kind of uncommon to be fairly new in the legislature and jump in at the level you are right now with this petition effort. Explain what led you to doing this.
Well, really, when I got in the building, there were two things I noticed, but the biggest one was how often this legislature does not vote with the will of the people in this state. And it's shocking to me. And how in the world can they get away with this? And a lot of people just aren't paying attention, is my feeling. And so I've seen this happen over and over again. And my colleagues, you know, my friend Rep. Virgil Osborne, I think he'd agree with me here that this we see it over and over again. Great bills that we know are widely popular with the Oregon people won't be heard, or bad bills will pass. And what happened is we had a transportation fee package, gas tax and fee increase package, that we know is wildly unpopular with the Oregon people. 94% of the testimony, and there was a lot of testimony, was opposed to this bill. And yet the governor rammed it through on partisan lines, knowing that it was opposed by the Oregon people. And I think that's outrageous. I think it's egregious. And so I just felt strongly, along with my colleagues that are also chief petitioners, that Senator Bruce Starr is on this petition, as well as Jason Williams with Taxpayers Association of Oregon. And we felt this is not right. We know this bill is unpopular. Our last option is to refer it to the voters and refer the four tax and fee elements that are most egregious to the Oregon people.
And what are those specific areas, those four elements?
Yeah, so there's a lot to this bill, and frankly, some of the pieces are good. So we didn't want to refer the whole thing. But what we did do is refer these four elements, the gas tax increase of 15%, the registration fee increases, the title fee increase, and the doubling of the statewide payroll transit tax. We may be the only state in the country that has a statewide payroll transit tax, the 0.1% on everybody's pay. And you pay it whether you use a bus or not. You pay it whether the town you live in has mass transit or not. And they want to double that. And so most of the opposition that we saw was opposed to these elements of the bill. And that's exactly what we're bringing to the people. It's over $4 billion of taxes over the next 10 years. And basically, the governor has signed it into law. But what we want to do is simply refer it to the people and let the people decide. Yes, vote means I want to raise my taxes, or no, I don't. And that's exactly what we're doing, bringing this to the people.
Now, you've got an added roadblock that you're trying to get around because of the governor's delay. And obviously, the strategy, big strategy there in delaying the signing of the bill, cut your time to do what you're doing. How many petition signatures do you need, and what's the deadline?
Yeah, all good questions. So I'll give you the deadline, and then I'll talk about how we got where we're at and what the governor did. But we need to gather about 78,000 signatures. Our target, our goal, is 100,000 signatures. We have until December 30th to turn those in, but we've set an internal deadline, 100,000 signatures in 30 days. That is a daunting task. But we are amazingly well on our way, and I'd love to talk to you about where we're at.
Yeah. Where do things stand at this point?
Yeah. Well, can I talk about what the governor pulled on us?
Sure.
Yeah. So the governor, we have 90 days by the Constitution to collect the necessary signatures to refer this. But at the same time, the governor has 30 days, not counting weekends, to sign the bill. And we cannot gather signatures until she signed the bill. So what the governor did, and she has not given any other reason to do this besides denying Oregonians the opportunity to vote on this bill, she delayed signing her own bill for over 40 days, basically cutting the time we have to collect signatures in half. And it's unbelievable and so cynical that she did that. But, I looked at this. They don't think that the volunteers will do this. They don't think that the Oregonians are going to stand up. And I just took that as a challenge. And I said, I'm going to prove all these people in here wrong. We're going to get those signatures. And we're going to show her that she cannot ram this stuff down our throats anymore.
So where are you at now?
Yeah, after this first weekend, we got approval to print signatures Wednesday night. Thursday morning, the printers were rolling. We started collecting signatures in limited areas at 11 a.m. Thursday morning, same day we were printing. By the end of day Friday, almost every county, I think but two, had their signatures, and we had an amazing weekend. People are fired up. We had over 42,000 signatures by Sunday night. I think it's unprecedented. It's unheard of what we're doing. We are setting Oregon history with this movement. So we're continuing. We have a fired up team. We have over 5,000 people that have signed up to volunteer. Many, many of those are engaged. We've got 60 regional petition captains across the state. Each one has their own territory with their own goal for signatures and their own team of volunteers. And we are organized. We have hundreds of sign-up locations across the state. And we're gathering signatures strong. I fully anticipate that by the end of this coming weekend, we will exceed our goal of signatures.
All right, it's a big deal in Oregon, and he is Representative Ed Deal with more when we come back, talking about the signature gathering effort and the transportation package. The interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
654 today.
Inside Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson at 1, a Republican candidate for Congress, Monique Despain. On tomorrow's Inside Douglas County at 1230, State Representative Ed Deal out of the Salem area on talking about the petition effort to overturn a part of the transportation package. As you are rolling through this, I'm curious if you've had much time to sleep in the last week.
No, it has been it's been crazy. I've been getting up really early, and it's just there's tons of people reaching out. I've got computer things behind the scenes that I'm taking care of, and we're just trying to organize and coordinate all these amazing volunteers. So it's been a lot of work.
Now,
and you mentioned Monique Despain. She is awesome, and she is helping us in this effort.
Now, as if this is voted on, it would be voted on next November, right?
Yes. When we put in the referendum, that's what we requested, is that it be, or stated, is it shows up on the November 2026 general election.
Any reaction from Oregon Department of Transportation to this move?
Yes, you know, they're concerned that we're not going to get this, or they're concerned that if this passes, they're going to see cuts. And unfortunately, the governor's painted a false choice to everybody, and we're pushing back on that really hard, because the money, ODOT has money, ODOT has funding. What's happened is the legislature, under Governor Kotek's leadership for many of those years, has hamstrung ODOT, so they cannot use all the funding or certain portions of the funding for maintenance. I'll give you an example. In 2017, when the last major transportation package passed, there were a number of fee increases and gas tax increases. Only 6% of that funding can go to maintenance. The rest, it goes to construction projects. And they sold us on this, saying we've got this grand plan for the Rose Quarter project. We've got this I-5 bridge project. Well, those projects still have not transpired. We spent hundreds of millions of dollars studying them. We end up with two bloated boondoggle of projects. ODOT has gotten out of, they're not focused on their mission. They're spending a lot of Oregon taxpayer dollars on things that we would not prioritize over maintenance. All we want to do is come back to the table, untie ODOT's hands so they can spend the money they already have on priority number one, which is maintenance, and go from there. And so nobody in this coalition here that is pushing this referendum wants any maintenance people to lose their job, and nobody will lose their job. And if they do, that is the governor's decision at the governor's discretion if she doesn't want to come to the table and work this out with us.
Now, we talked to Representative Bruce Starr about this a bit last week. One of the things he mentioned, if I understand it correctly, is that just by qualifying, this will sort of put those four components on pause. Is that right?
That is correct. So these elements of the bill, once it qualifies for the ballot, it goes on pause, because the idea is the Oregon voters need to decide. And so I think what would happen is the governor, if she was smart, she would say, hey, you know, we have to come back together and work this out, because the Oregon people have spoken. We've done polling and know that majority of Oregonians would outright repeal these tax and fee increases. So it would be foolhardy for her to wait till November for that election to take place. Instead, let's come to the table. Let's reprioritize current funding. Let's do what the Oregon people want.
As you look at your poll data, are you seeing a variety of levels of opposition? I mean, is it more opposition in rural areas, or are you still seeing a strong amount of opposition like in Metro Portland and more Democratic areas?
It's really diverse. We see the vast majority of Republicans are opposed to this. There's a plurality of Democrats, considerably more Democrats are opposed to it than support it. Non-affiliated voters are opposed to it. Really, what we're finding, too, in our volunteer effort, there's a lot of Republicans. The Libertarian Party is all behind this, gathering signatures. We've got Democrats on our volunteer list gathering signatures. We've got the Constitution Party folks helping us. This is not a partisan issue. And I think that's why so many businesses have been willing to allow us to use their parking lots or even set up indoors in their building to help us gather signatures. It's been amazing.
Now, give folks your website information and kind of explain what they can find on the website.
Yeah, so our website is notaxor.com. We also have another site called stopthegastax.com. Think of it this way. The stopthegastax.com is the official political action committee website. The notaxor.com site is our grassroots arm. And we're one big happy family. We're working together. But on the notaxor.com site is where you can go if you want to volunteer to help. You can also go, and we just got this updated. It was a rapid deployment. but you can go there and look for sites, sign-up location sites in your area. There's a page for that. And if people want to donate and help us fund this grassroots effort, they can do that as well through the donate page. But those are the two places to go for up-to-date information on what's going on. The other thing I'd suggest is just go follow me on social media. I'm on Facebook. If you look up Ed Diehl, D-I-E-H-L, you can also find me on X at Real Ed Diehl. And I am keeping people posted on a regular basis about what's going on and the current status.
If you back up 4 years, would you have ever thought you'd be doing something like this?
No. No. I really had no interest in it, getting into politics. I sold my business about 8 years ago, and I retired, and I was doing volunteer work. I'm in the Knights of Columbus, which is a Catholic fraternal organization, and that was keeping me quite involved. I'm on the board of Senium Hospital and Clinics. I'm on the board of Catholic Community Services Foundation. And then I got, here's what happened. In 2020, we had the Labor Day. We had the Labor Day fires, and they devastated my community. And I looked at that, and having some background in wood products, knowing that a lot of the reason for that was our just total lack of active forest management. We've neglected our forests. We've let fuels build up in those forests. And in the process, we've denied job opportunities for Oregonians, too. And it's so frustrating for me. And then the other thing was our response to COVID, shutting down schools and businesses to the extreme. And I just felt, looking at this, this is hitting me right in the face now, these terrible decisions by our government. I can make better decisions than this. And I lived in a district that had been redistricted, and it did not have a current representative. And so I decided I'm going to give this a shot. My wife and I prayed on it and said, if I don't give this a shot, I'll regret it. And we hit it hard, and we won.
And you probably have a lot less spare time.
I got a lot less spare time, yeah. And so does my wife. She's my chief of staff. We worked in our business, building a business from scratch to over 100 employees. We did that together. I know that doesn't work for every couple, but it works for us. And so we decided to continue that in the building, and she's great, and we're just all in on this. I want to take my state back. All right. And that's what I'm fighting for.
All right. We're just about out of time with Representative Ed Diehl. Again, give people the website addresses.
Yeah. There's two addresses for you. StopTheGasTax.com. That's our official political action committee site. And then notaxor.com is our grassroots site.
All right, State Representative Ed Deal, we hope to talk to you again soon. Thanks for being on today.
Hey, thank you, Kyle. Appreciate it.
All right, 1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.